Grant Brisby joins us. Grant, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. How you doing?
Yeah, doing well. I'm glad to have you on this morning. Of course, Grant, part of the Outsiders on NBC Bay Area. And McCovey Chronicles was your baby as well. Do you miss McCovey Chronicles?
I do. I mean, I do and I don't. The workload was grinding me into a fine powder, but I do. When I have thoughts about the Giants, I feel like I have to scream them into a pillow because I have no voice.
I know the feeling. That's why I like being on the air. At least for about 15 hours a weekend, I can talk about it. But it is Monday morning, and we actually asked this question last night on the postgame show and got some interesting responses. I'll put you in the same spot. It's Monday morning. You're the front office of the Giants. You've now seen 138 games. It's Labor Day. You've got the race to the finish. You're looking at this National League West as stumbling as it is. It's a tremendous race. What do you say? Well, what do you say on Monday morning after looking at what's going on in baseball if you're the Giants front office?
As far as like the Giants and how they're how they should feel about the season.
Yeah, how do you assess things? What's on your agenda this morning? What do you talk about?
You want to ease in some of the younger players, but I think they've sort of already forced their hand with that. With no McCutcheon, you're going to have to play Chris Shaw and Austin Slater. I don't think they really have to do a whole lot different other than, you know, they want to be a spoiler at this point. I'm not looking at a miraculous September run. I think with 7.5 back of three different teams, forget if it happens, it happens. But I'm looking to be a spoiler, and I'm just looking for the good out of all the call-ups and the prospects, just trying to glean some information that you can apply to next year in this offseason.
Yeah, 2019, again, becomes interesting because you look at the division, everyone's got trouble, and you do too. And then you have that fallback of saying, well, Belt was injured and Panic was hurt. Crawford had a good month and a half. The kids are playing the outfield. Posey's got the hip surgery. How do you plan for 19 after a year like this?
If the players who have the potential to be good, Posey, Crawford, Belt, next year, if they had just a ton of trade value, there would be a conversation to be had about, well, do the Giants sort of just strip it down? Do they send these players off and get a bunch of just a young wave coming in and kind of build for 2020? That's what the conversation you'd have if you could trade Crawford, Belt, Posey for a ton of prospects. I don't think that you can. I think Bumgarner's the only one that's going to have substantial value, and what you would do is trade him away and get maybe two premium prospects back, and that would be the rebuild. You probably could trade Belt in this contract, but you're not going to get top 25 prospects. You're not going to get guys who are on the cover of Baseball America. So with that, sort of with that limitation, I don't think it's folly to say, well, let's bang our head against the wall again. Let's try again with Belt, who's very talented, with Crawford, who's very talented, with Posey, even though we don't know what we're going to get after the surgery. I do think that there is a logic to that. It might not be what a lot of Giants fans want to hear, but it might be the most prudent course going forward.
Yeah, maybe, because, as I said when I opened the show today, six wins right now, and the Giants would be in the midst of everything. I mean, we'd be talking about, one of the great September races to the finish, and you look at 76, 77, one-run, two-run games, and you get a hit here, a hit there. You change five of them, and all of a sudden you're in it, and I guess that's the temptation to go back to what you just said.
Absolutely. And it hurts because you don't want to just blame everything on poor luck, because Cueto getting hurt, Samardzija getting hurt, that's not poor luck. Those are starting pitchers with a lot of mileage on their arms. Like, this risk was sort of baked into their contracts and their acquisitions. So it's not poor luck, but at the same time, you can't help but wonder, what if we had the relative health of the Rockies? The Rockies haven't had a ton of health problems this year at all. What if just Cueto were healthy? What if Cueto can come back next year, halfway or three quarters of the way through and give us valuable innings down the stretch? And you start thinking, what if Longoria rebounds and he's not just the sort of Edgardo Alfonso character at the end of his career with the Giants? You start to think about these what ifs, and they're not unreasonable, but it really sort of highlights how much value the Giants have gotten from the surprises and spare parts like Derek Hollins, like Rodriguez. I mean, Suarez, they've gotten a lot of value from players they were not supposed to be counting on, and that sort of buoyed them even close to 500.
Yeah, as I say, five games here or there, and there's so many close games. You get a hit with a runner in scoring position, which they just cannot do. It would change the whole outlook of the season. So it's going to be an interesting winter. I'll press you just a little bit. If you could predict one surprise move that this ball club would make over the winter, where would you go with it? And it's just, we're just chatting. So, yeah, one surprise move, what would you think it would be?
If it's going to be a surprise, I don't think Bryce Harper, the pursuit of him at least, isn't going to be a surprise. It would be a surprise if he wanted to come to the AT&T Park. But I think the surprise move is Joe Panik possibly getting traded or non-tendered. I just think I look at what the Giants have is a lineup going into next year, and there aren't a lot of spots open. If you're committed to Posey being ready by spring training, Belt, Crawford, you're not going to move Longoria's contract. They seem to be kind of full steam ahead on Duggar. That is second base, left field, right field. That's how you fix an offense that's been the worst in baseball in the second half. And, unless the Giants get really, really creative with those outfield corner spots, I'm not sure that there's just a magic bullet for either one to say, here's our middle of the lineup now, we're going to score a ton more runs, everything's fixed, and we have Joe Panik. I think they sort of have to look at the power sources, the Brian Doziers, the guys who can come in and hit a 20 homer season, even at AT&T Park, and then you can also kind of accommodate that with the corner outfield spot. So I think Panik might be the surprise move.
Yeah, I agree with you, because the Brewers are my team to trade with. They've got seven outfielders, and they got guys who can hit it out of the park. They are desperate for a second baseman as well. Jonathan Scope is not going to be the answer there. So I think that's a good answer. I think that could happen. Bumgarner pitches today. And as I opened up today, I talked a little bit about him, and I said, he may have a second half of a career. It may not be Matt Cain or Lincecum, even though he's got tons of innings and he's not the same pitcher. He knows how to pitch, in my opinion. And guys, as the latter part of their careers, it's okay if you know how to pitch and you still can throw 88 to 90 miles an hour. I think he's reached that stage. I'm impressed with what he's done the last month.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of talk about, is he the same ace? Is he this? And I don't think it's like a binary thing. It's not black or white. It is, there are shades of gray here, and Bumgarner might not be blowing people away with 94 above the hands like he was. But at the same time, there's a reason why he's been so successful in a way, like, 90, a guy who throws 92, 93, a left-hander, those guys aren't uncommon. What makes Bumgarner different? Well, it's his deception. It's the way he slings the ball. It's the movement of his cutter. And those things haven't gone away. He's still deceptive. He's still boring that ball in on hitters' hands. And I agree with you. I think he could have a second kind of act to his career that's a little bit different. We saw it with John Lester. I mean, John Lester was... He wasn't always this kind of pitcher. He was throwing a little bit harder when he was a wild youth, and he sort of transformed into an elder statesman who knows how to pitch. And health willing, I think that could be the path for Bumgarner.
Yeah, very good comparison, John Lester. Boy, he won a big game yesterday, didn't he, over Aaron Nola with the Cubs?
No. I'm loving how Nola is just all of a sudden getting matched up with all the super aces as if it's like a trial of fire. Been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love it. I thought Nola, I like the Phillies. I've been on the Phillies all year, but they're sort of slipping. The bullpen is coming apart a little bit, and other than Nola, they're having trouble getting Arrieta, getting him consistent, and Velasquez pitches today. Eflin is in there as well. But I love the Phillies. I love what the Phillies have done. I like what Gabe Kapler's done. I think the Phillies are really – and Atlanta. I think Philly and Atlanta are the two best stories of the National League.
I agree. And before the season, my wild card predictions were in the AL I had the A's, and in the NL I had the Phillies. I looked really, really smart for a while. So I'm kind of pulling for the Phillies just for pure arrogance sake. But the Braves snuck up on me. I just didn't think the Braves were going to come and sort of have that fire hose of talent ready this year. I thought there'd be a sprinkling. You'd have this guy kind of emerge as a pitcher. This guy's a hitter. But nothing, top to bottom like they've had. They just have a remarkable organization, and it's, you know, it's not even, we haven't seen the tip of the iceberg for this minor league pipeline. They have so many arms that they can mix in over the next couple of years. So Braves are outstanding, and it doesn't hurt that Acuna and Albies are just two of the most watchable, fun baseball players that we've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, and Freddie Freeman could be the MVP of the league. That could happen.
That's wild. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around the NL MVP race, so don't ask me for a ranking, because it just blows my mind to think that there could be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 viable candidates.
Well, that's what September is all about. That's what it's all about. Grant Brisby with us. Pleasure to have you on. I enjoy it. Tell us about The Outsiders, the show. It's been a lot of fun.
It is. You know, my normal co-host, Therese Vignal, just had her first baby on September 1st, and so congratulations to her. It basically a show that comes on after the post game show on 7 o'clock games on NBC Sports Bay Area, and the shtick is that we're coming at it from a fan perspective. It's, you've got the post game analysis, but then you can get two idiots who sort of talk about the game from a fan's perspective. And so now I've got Grant Lithman as my co-host, and if anything, he's just as idiotic as me in the best possible way. So, you know, we just go and silly things and memories, and we talk about different seasons, and we'll call back the 97 season or a candlestick memory to make our point. But for the most part, we're kind of coming at it from a fan perspective.
I love it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And Carmen was on with you. It was a lot of fun seeing her on there as well. And congratulations to Therese with the baby. I'll tell you something. Therese works very hard. I will tell you that.
She's maniacal. She is hilarious at just how hard she works. And, you know, she'll be teaching fitness classes in the morning before going to the ballpark, before coming from the ballpark to do the show. And it's like, man, I barely rolled out of bed this morning.
No kidding. Really. I appreciate everything she does. All right. Very good. All right. We did a question on the post game yesterday, which really was fun. We'll do some more of it today. And we got all sorts of answers. I'm going to ask you this one. You're a guy who can think outside the box, so to speak. If you could live the life of any ball player, living or dead, any ball player who's ever been involved in Major League Baseball, you could live that life, who would you be?
Oh, boy, living the life. All right, so I would want modern medicine, so I'm going to have to keep it close. At the same time, oh, boy, that's a tricky question. I think I would enjoy sort of the golden era of baseball. I think I would sort of want all the attention on me, the cover of Life magazine a little bit, but you're not going to get with Mike Trout today. Boy, I mean, you want to go with Willie Mays. At the same time, that would sort of understate the struggles he went through as an African-American player. Mm-hmm. You know, not being able to buy a home he might want in Hillsborough and just all the awful things like that. But I think I'm going to go with Mays just to live that talent, just to feel what it's like to be the best at anything, you know, and sort of know it at the time and be able to glide across a baseball field like that.
Yeah, that was my pick. I'd pick Willie. I did. Because Willie can go in anywhere and say, by the way, I'm Willie Mays. I ain't paying for anything.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's you're Willie Mays, and you are, you know, who knows what people are going to remember in 1,000 years, but if there's going to be a baseball player remembered, it might be Willie Mays. He's like Shakespeare, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I took it. That was my choice. We had people all over the map. We'll do it again today. I love the question. It's really good for the reasons. Hey, pleasure having you on. You do a great job, and really, you're one of the good baseball guys in the Bay Area. So you're welcome anytime, Grant. Thank you.
I really, really appreciate that. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. That is Grant Brisby. You can watch him on The Outsiders, and he was McCovey Chronicles. I know Carmen does a lot of work for them now.